Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello and welcome back to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, your host, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. If you were tuned in last week, you hopefully enjoyed a musical Easter as we traced the events of Jesus' life from Palm Sunday to Easter Day through words and music. It's all very dramatic and moving, but now let's step back and reflect a little on what it all means for us and for the world. So tonight is a programme entitled Easter Interpreted, and we'll try to grapple with the great mysteries once again through word and music. But first, to set the scene and get us in the mood, here's a song from Spring Harvest, This Is Your God.
Humility and washes of me.
Ever since Jesus lived and died and rose again from the dead, people have been discussing and arguing and trying to interpret and understand what Jesus is all about. And so we should, because if the Bible is right, he affects everybody's life. He's relevant to every aspect of our lives. And he has a big say in our eternal destiny. Put it this way, there's nothing more important than him. Nothing. He's more important than life and death, because he's about eternal life and death. Christians will tell you that their whole lives can be categorized as before Jesus and since Jesus. World history is divided into BC, before Christ, and AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. So what is Jesus' life, death, and resurrection all about? Why do we celebrate his getting crucified? Resurrection, so what? What's it got to do with you and me and daily life in the 21st century? And how might it change our future destiny forever? Hey, we've only got half an hour, and they've argued about this for 2,000 years now. But let me share with you four broad interpretations over the years. The first one is this. Jesus is God himself, revealing himself to his creatures on planet Earth. Otherwise, how would we ever know that he exists? How would we ever know who he is and what he's like? We cannot reach up to heaven. We are left looking up at the night sky, wondering whether or not there might be someone up there. But God can reach down to us. He can cross the dance floor and introduce himself to us. He can dance with us for a period of time, shoulder to shoulder, as our partner, till we get to know him a little better. How can he show us that he loves us, other than by coming and loving us in a way that we can relate to? How can he show us that our sins crucify him all day, every day, other than by coming and getting literally crucified in front of our faces? Abelard, the famous theologian of the 12th century, said, "Imagine a tree trunk lying horizontal on the ground. When you see the rings of the trunk at the end, you know that they go all the way up the trunk. What you see at the end is a dissection. The cross on Calvary Hill at one time and place shows how we crucify and hurt our God all through our lives and throughout the world's history. And the empty tomb at Easter shows how he always bounces back, returning love for hate." So the first interpretation of Easter is that God was revealing himself to us, and in particular, revealing his infinite, indestructible, unconditional, total love for us. Love which is willing to die for us, and will keep coming back to us no matter how often we try to crucify him. Jesus has been described as the Hound of Heaven. Here's Michael Carr to sing about that. There's another way to interpret the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, namely that Jesus is our substitute. When we sin and do wrong, we deserve punishment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Certainly, wrongdoing causes ourselves and others a lot of suffering and leads to all kinds of deaths. God is just and holy, and will not just turn a Nelson eye to it or sweep it under the carpet. God, the judge of all the earth, pronounces the death sentence because of his zero tolerance policy. However, God, the judge, is also merciful. He takes off his gown and wig and steps down from the bench, walks over to the dock and stands shoulder to shoulder with us, the accused. As a human being, as one of us, he accepts his own death sentence and dies it on our behalf, as our substitute. In Auschwitz, in the Nazi concentration camp, there was a queue of Jewish victims in line walking into the gas chambers to be extinguished. Suddenly, a bystander, a man, stepped forward into the line and pushed a young girl out of the queue. He took that child's place and saved its life by sacrificing his own. Jesus was our substitute, dying for us. As a human being, he could represent us and take the punishment for sin. And as God, he was able to bounce back from death. In Jesus, the punishment is completed, the slate wiped clean, and we can all enjoy a new, fresh start with our God. Here's Hugh Pridey singing, "I Will Sing the Wondrous Story of the Christ Who Died for Me." Another way of interpreting the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is to see him as a sacrifice. Long ago, in Old Testament times, the high priest on one day of the year, called the Day of Atonement, would lead a goat into the wilderness. He would ceremonially lay all the sins of all the people on its back and chase it away into the wilderness. It was known as the scapegoat. That is the origin of the term. Jesus came to be our scapegoat, taking away the sins of the world. He was the once and for all sacrifice. The Bible calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here's Michael Card singing, "This Must Be the Lamb."
This must be the sheep to the slaughter, so silently still. This must be the land. They mocked his true calling and laughed at his feet. So glad to see the gentle one consumed by their hate.
And yet another interpretation of Jesus' life, death and resurrection is to understand him as our champion, our defender, our hero, coming to fight for us against our enemy, evil. Evil often, always, gets the better of us when we face it on our own devices. We get stuck in the rut. We cannot keep our New Year resolutions. Our good intentions come to nothing. We shoot ourselves in the foot. We fall and fail. We cannot help ourselves. We are addicted to sin and selfishness. More than internal human weakness and wickedness, there's also external evil, which is not our fault. There is someone at the top of the hill rolling down marbles to trip us up. There are gremlins in the works, demons, a devil. Paul calls them principalities and powers. Folk often talk this way, what the devil got into you, what possessed you, but they don't really think it's true, do they? Jesus said to Peter one day, Satan desired to have you, but I would not let him. Jesus claimed that he himself had been sorely tempted by the devil for 40 days and nights in the wilderness. Jesus comes as our champion to fight on our behalf, to conquer temptation, death the last enemy, and every other form of evil. His coming was D-Day in the cosmic battle between good and evil. V-Day will be when Jesus comes again at the end of time. We live in the time between D-Day and V-Day, so the war continues, but there's only going to be one winner from now on, Jesus. And we're only facing mopping up operations as we claim victory over a retreating enemy. Here's Spring Harvest with Champion.
Thank you.
There you have it, four interpretations of Jesus' life, death and resurrection. You may have realised already that they're not mutually exclusive. They can all be true. We could see them as facets or sides of the one diamond. So Jesus is, one, God revealing himself and his love. Jesus is, two, our substitute. Jesus is, three, our sacrificial scapegoat. Jesus is, four, our champion. So now we can enjoy atonement or at-one-ment with God. Hallelujah. So on that note, it's goodbye for now, but tune in again next week for another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, and I leave you with Don Francisco and Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus. cross of Nazareth, killed by your sin, raised by the Spirit to life without end. Gently he speaks to you deep down inside. Let go of your sin, your fear and your pride. Now is the time to give in to his love, binding your heart to the Father's above. Jesus is waiting with arms open wide. Come to the Savior, you won't be denied. Jesus of Nazareth, killed by your sin, raised by the Spirit to life without end. Gently he speaks to you deep down inside. Let go of your sin, your fear and your pride. Now is the time to give in to his love, binding your heart to the Father's above. Jesus is waiting with arms open wide. Come to the Savior, you won't be denied. Killed by your sin, raised by the Spirit to life without end. Gently he speaks to you deep down inside. Let go of your sin, your fear and your pride. Now is the time to give in to his love, binding your heart to the Father's above. Jesus is waiting with arms open wide. Come to the Savior, you won't be denied.